Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, you might as well tell your neighbor, and something good is going to happen to you too. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Yesterday in the session that I shared with you, we talked about developing faith in the blessing. The blessing of God is on our lives. It's not out there somewhere and we're trying to get it. It is on us right now. Look at your neighbor and say, there's something on me. Declare by faith and declare it boldly, and it's the blessing of God. I want to continue talking to you about this tonight, and something happened on the way up here yesterday when I was flying up here. The Lord began to share some things with me about the blessing that I had not seen quite that way before. I began looking it over, studying it back of my airplane, and by the time I got here and checked into the hotel, just had a short time to get ready for the afternoon service. And I could hardly wait to get finished with my service so I could get back and continue to study. And then last night, Brother Copeland made a powerful statement that really spoke volumes to my spirit. It just rang out when he said it. I want to repeat that statement. You may remember as you hear it, him declaring this. The blessing is the highest authority that heaven has ever bestowed in the earth. The blessing is the highest authority that heaven has ever bestowed in the earth. How many of you remember him saying that last night? Well, that's the thing the Spirit of God was talking to me about yesterday flying up here. The authority, the power of the blessing. Let's review a little bit for the benefit of those of you in particular who were not here when we talked about this yesterday. Let's go to Psalm 3 and Galatians chapter 3. And let's look at the scriptures that we base this reality upon, that the blessing is presently on our lives. And then we're going to look at some fresh insights. And I trust they will do to you what they have done to me today. I could hardly wait for this service to begin. Praise God. I've been dressed and ready since 5 o'clock. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 3 and verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Notice the last part of that verse. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Where is the blessing? It's not out here somewhere and we're trying to get it. It is on us, and it's on us right now. Look at your neighbor and say, can you see it? It's all over me. The blessing is on me. Amen. The blessing of God is on his people. And that little word, Selah, stop and think about this. Now go to Galatians chapter 3 and notice in verse 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice once again how Paul agrees with David that the blessing is not out there somewhere and we're trying to get it, but it is actually on us. The blessing is upon his people. And notice here that through what Jesus did at Calvary, that the blessing might come on the Gentiles. Well, praise God, that includes you and me. The blessing is on us. God has declared it, and that should settle it in your heart. No matter how you feel about it, no matter whether or not you've ever seen evidence of it in the natural, whether or not you are experiencing manifestations of it, the blessing is on you. It's on you right now. And the first thing that you need to do in order to experience greater manifestations of it is to agree with God. agree with God. In fact, the Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you develop any kind of intimate relationship with God if you're not going to agree with what He says? You see, that's where where religion got the word but. I know the Bible says that, but. No, you can't use the word but after you see what the Bible says. You're going to have to agree with God. You will never develop any kind of intimate relationship with Him until you first determine that whether you understand it or not, you're going to agree with God. There are a number of things that in the early days of my Christianity that I did not understand. But I agreed with God by faith. And as I agreed with Him, then understanding began to come. So look at your neighbor and say, I'm agreeing with God. The blessing of God is on my life. It's on me right now. I'm not trying to get it. I've already got it. It's on me right now. And give the Lord a shout if you believe it. Praise God. Say this, God, you said, your blessing is on me. I agree with you. And from this moment forward, I decree with my mouth that the blessing of God is on my life. That settles it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to get to the place where you decree that, not just because I encourage you to do it, or one of the other speakers encourages you to do it, but because it is a revelation to you, praise God. Amen. Now, for this to really sink in, you've got to understand that the blessing is an empowerment. What is the blessing? It's an empowerment. Now, I'm reviewing once again, and then we're going to get into some new things. It is an empowerment to, number one, prosper. It is an empowerment to, number two, succeed. It is an empowerment to, number three, increase. And it is an empowerment, number four, to excel or to rise above. When God said, you are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that is excelling, that is rising above. And that's what the blessing is designed to do in our lives. It is an empowerment to prosper, to succeed, to increase, to excel, and to rise above. Now, let's look at an example of this in light of it being an empowerment and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now notice that phrase once again, underline it or highlight it if you haven't done so already. It is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now wouldn't you agree with me that this statement implies that there was an empowerment placed upon them and that empowerment was the blessing? How do you know He's talking about the blessing, Brother Jerry? Because it is an empowerment to get wealth. How did it get on them? He pronounced it upon them. In fact, the Amplified Bible often uses this word, pronounce, when it is talking about how God places His blessing on a human being. In fact, an example of it from the Amplified Bible, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, and God pronounced a blessing upon Noah and his sons. That's how it comes on you. It is pronounced upon you by Almighty God. Now, the word pronounce is an interesting word. It literally means to speak or to utter and to clearly and unmistakably mark. Hallelujah. I think you ought to write that definition down. To pronounce. When God pronounced blessing on Adam, when God pronounced blessing on Noah, when God pronounced blessing on Abraham, when God pronounced blessing on Isaac and all the other seed of Abraham, which includes you and me. It simply means that he spoke it, he uttered it, and he clearly and unmistakably marked us. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm marked. Hallelujah. I like to go around saying, I'm a marked man. Now, you know, we've heard that phrase used, but many times it's usually in the negative. Someone talks about somebody being marked. You know, for years and years now, the Kennedy family has had this thing about them. You know, people say they're marked. Marked with a curse. You know, all the stuff that's happened, all the tragedies, all the crises that the Kennedy family has gone through over the years. And, of course, some of them say, you know, it's because of some things that, you know, the old man, Joseph, did back there years ago. And it marked that family. In fact, every time another tragedy happens in that family, you just watch. It won't be long. The Discovery Channel will have another documentary about how this family is marked. I mean, you remember when John was killed in that airplane crash? I mean, they started all over again with how that family is marked. And they use it in a negative way. But when God pronounces his blessing upon you, you are marked in a positive way. Hallelujah. And you say amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor again and say, I'm marked.
I'm marked.
I'm marked for blessing.
Marked.
Now, the word marked is also an interesting word. It means to be singled out. It means to become conspicuous. Hallelujah. It means to be singled out. The blessing of God on you is designed to single you out of the crowd. Hallelujah. That means that you and I are not limited to what the rest of the world is limited to. I love that phrase in the Amplified Bible when Paul is referring to the new creation. And he says, we are no longer mere men. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not a mere man. Why am I no longer a mere man? Because something's on me, hallelujah. And it's called the blessing. And that blessing causes me to be a marked individual. And because I'm marked, I have been singled out, and I'm supposed to be... No, I'm supposed to be conspicuous. Look at your neighbor and say, you're looking conspicuous tonight. Amen. Remember the word I used yesterday? Opulent. Oh, I like that word. That's a good word for a country boy. Ain't it, Creflo? You looking opulent, my friend. Look at old Bill Winston. That is opulent if I ever seen it. Hallelujah. And look at Gloria, how conspicuous she looks. I believe there's something on these people. It's called the blessing. Come on, shout, it's the blessing. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm feeling opulent tonight. I'm feeling marked tonight. I am feeling conspicuous tonight. And give the Lord a good shout for it. Amen. Every word I give you has an interesting meaning. I love the Bible and I love my dictionary. Conspicuous, it means attracting attention. It means attracting attention. The blessing of God on our lives is designed by God to not only empower us to prosper and to succeed and to increase and to excel and to rise above, but it is also designed by God to draw attention. And some folks seem to draw more attention than others. Amen. But for us, it's for the right reasons. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, you look like you're drawing attention here tonight. Now, this is exactly... You follow me now. You take notes. This is exactly what God was talking about in Deuteronomy 28:10. And all the people of the earth shall see all the people of the earth shall see. Well, if all the people of the earth are going to see that you are called by the name of the Lord, then that means your city ought to see something. Somebody in your neighborhood ought to recognize that there's something about you that's different from the rest of the folks in this neighborhood. Amen? Hey, don't be afraid of drawing attention. You know, one time, this is before I had a revelation of this. You know, this, for years and years, I've lived out on the south side of Fort Worth. I'm a country boy. I like land. Don't fence me in. So I started buying some land out in the country. And I kept buying land, and I had horses, and I had cattle, and I grew up on a farm, so I like that kind of thing. And then over a period of time, I began to realize that, the city of Fort Worth was coming my way. In the past, they always went north. They developed the north side of Fort Worth. But now all of a sudden, they started developing the south side of Fort Worth. And I began to realize that this land that I had acquired over the years was becoming more and more valuable. And so eventually, I built my international headquarters out there, and we have a church out there and so forth. And for years, just us were the only ones out there. Our neighbors were way off from us. I mean, I felt like I owned the road. It was my own personal drag strip. Hallelujah. I like driving fast when I can. And since it's not legal, I just call Brother Copeland and say, can I borrow your airport? I feel a need for speed, you know. All of a sudden, they started buying up land out there. You ever heard of Ross Perot? Well, Ross Perot Jr. is a developer, a major developer in Fort Worth. He started buying land out on the south side. And once he started buying, then all the developers want to know what's going on out there. Ross is buying out there, so there must be something going on out on the south side. So they started buying all this land up. Next thing I know, there's subdivisions around me. Oh, but at least they can't build right next to me, and they can't build right in front of me, and they can't build in back of me because I own it, praise God. But they're close enough now. In fact, the other day, pulling out of my gate, I had to wait for 12 cars before I could get out of my gate. I said, Carolyn, we're moving. It's as bad as Los Angeles around here. Well, since this subdivision came in, you know, it's drawn certain individuals, rednecks, you know, all kinds of people. And this one redneck, you know what a redneck is, don't look so holy. There might be one sitting next to you. You be careful now. But this one redneck in this old beat-up pickup, he'd drive by my place, and if he happened to see me out in the yard, particularly if I'm out there with one of my classic cars. I'm a classic car enthusiast, and I have several restored early model Corvettes. And I'm out there, you know, playing with my 57 Corvette, and he drives by, and he screams at me, hey, preacher, did you steal the offerings to buy that? Then he drives off. He's a coward. He won't stop and talk. And I ain't very big. But I got a friend named Jesse who has some friends. Hallelujah. I just want him to stop one time and let's talk. But he chooses rather to accuse me of stealing the offerings or accusing me of some wrongdoing just because I have something he doesn't have. Right. So the blessing of God on my life is drawing attention. Amen. In fact, not too long ago, you know, they had some goofy, stupid, untrue report on the Copeland's ministry in Fort Worth on one of our major networks. And I mean, it hadn't even got off the air good. There's a helicopter flying over my place with that camera from that television station. I wish I'd been out there. I'd have waved at them, praise God. That's okay, Gloria. I want to make a public announcement. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the word of faith. And I am not ashamed of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. I'm not ashamed of you either, Creflo. Yeah, the blessing of God is designed by God to draw attention to your life. Why? Because eventually somebody is going to want to know, how are you doing this? Where are you getting it? And you're going to be able to say, it's the God I serve and it's His blessing on my life. Amen. The blessing is designed by God to make your life an evangelistic tool. You can win a lot of people to Christ just by your lifestyle that you won't have to preach a word to. They'll finally want to know, how are you doing it? Where are you getting this? And you can tell them, once again, it's the God that I serve. Now, once again, conspicuous means attracting attention. God said in Deuteronomy 28:10, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called. And you could change or interchange the word called there, marked. All the people of the earth shall see that thou art marked by God. Why? Because He has placed His blessing upon you. And the blessing is supposed to make us different from everyone else. It should be a defining characteristic in our lives. Once again, that's the reason I like to go around just decreeing all the time. I'm a marked man. I am marked by the blessing of God upon my life. Now, once again, in Deuteronomy 8:18, when God pronounced the blessing upon His people, the Bible says that He empowered them to get wealth. The blessing is that power that will produce wealth. Notice it says, it is He that giveth the power to get wealth. But how do I know that this power in Deuteronomy 8 is the blessing? Because the book of Proverbs clearly states that it is. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. When you put rich and wealthy in the same category, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You can't get any clearer than that. The power He was referring to in Deuteronomy 8 is the blessing. It will produce wealth. It will make you rich. The blessing as an empowerment will cause the quality of your life to have a drastic change. Hallelujah. That's my testimony. Gloria and Kenneth Copeland knew me when. And I'm not that same man. I met them back when I had just come to the Lord. And my lifestyle then was certainly not like my lifestyle today. I'll never forget when I came to work with Brother Copeland in 1970. Had one pair of shoes, had one suit. The suit that I was wearing, a lady bought it at a rummage sale. She heard I was going to work for a preacher. And she bought me a suit at a rummage sale for $15. I went to Fort Worth in the summertime. That suit was 100% wool. And so out of date, I later saw on television the old movie called The Untouchables, and Al Capone was wearing that suit. Or at least it looked just like the one he had on. Amen. And back in those days, you got to remember now, of course, some of you weren't even around then, but back in those days, when we went on meetings, when I traveled with Brother Copeland back in those days, we didn't go for 2-3 days. We went for 3 weeks, you know, and I got one suit. And so I'd believe God for an extra shirt, believe God for another tie. You cannot imagine how many different changes I made out of that one suit. We had 3 services a day, morning, afternoon, and evening. In the morning, I'd just wear the slacks and a shirt. In the afternoon, I'd change the shirt. In the evening, I added a tie to it. I mean, you can go 3 weeks with one suit. Amen. And then we got to Odessa, Texas. And I found a little Mexican boy out there in the streets who had rags on. I said, I am going to give that boy my suit. He's worse off than I am. And the thing was, here I was, 25, 24, 25 years old. This kid was about 12, but he was my size. You know, I didn't weigh about 114 pounds back then. And so I gave that boy my suit. And we got a meeting tonight. I mean, I'm without a suit now in the natural. But I'm telling you, before dark, and I won't get into all the details, but before that meeting started that night, I wound up with two brand new suits, praise God. I mean, God was proving to me that this stuff worketh, hallelujah. I never will forget that night, man, I got two suits. I was in a dilemma. I didn't know which suit to wear. I put one on and I took it off, put the other one on, and then I put that other one back on. And for the first time, I was betwixt two. I didn't know which suit to wear. Finally decided which one to wear. I could hardly wait to go knock on Brother Copeland's door and take him to the meeting. I walked down that hall of that hotel and I knocked on his door, and he stood there at the door and he said, is it time to go? I said, it's time to go. I thought, surely he's going to notice that this is a different suit than what I've been wearing for the last 6 months, you know? He didn't say a word. We got in the car and we drove to the meeting. He didn't say a word. Got out of the meeting and I drove him back to the hotel. He didn't say a word. Walked him down the hall. He didn't say a word. Opened the door for him. And when he went in, looked like he's going to shut the door without saying a word. But instead, he reached over there and hit me on the shoulder about that hard and said, stuff works, don't it, boy? Good night. You know, and hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that was many years ago. Hallelujah. The quality of my life has drastically changed. Amen. Now, praise God, I can bless other people with suits. So notice here, the blessing is the power that maketh rich. The blessing is the power to get wealth. Now, the word maketh is an interesting word. Listen to this. Here's what the dictionary says about the word make, as in maketh. To compose, to form, or to create. The blessing of the Lord will create wealth. The blessing of the Lord will create wealth. But that's not where it ends. It also means, the word make, to complete by providing what is lacking. To complete by providing what is lacking. But this third definition, one made me run around the table this afternoon. To invent. The blessing of the Lord maketh. In other words, God says, if I have to, if you'll stand on my word and believe and have faith in the blessing that's on you, if necessary, I'll invent wealth for you. Hallelujah. Woo, that's good. That's shouting ground, folks. Don't you think God's capable of that? Didn't you hear that story that Brother Copeland talked about last night? That guy that, you know, was put that last bit of money he had in Oral Roberts' offering? Just a few dollars? Got home and God told him, go up in the attic, get those plans out that he had drawn sometime before that Ford Motor Company had turned down, laughed at him. But this time they didn't laugh. They wanted what he had. And because the blessing of God was on that man's life, God invented wealth for him. I think I'm going to go home and look at my attic as soon as I get out of this convention, praise God. Amen. Treasure in the attic, hallelujah. Now, to make, the blessing of the Lord will make you rich. It'll create wealth. It'll provide what's lacking. And it will invent if necessary. The blessing of the Lord is so powerful that it can create wealth, it can arrange for wealth, and if necessary, it can invent wealth. Our problem is we haven't tapped into all that's been made available to us simply because we didn't truly understand the power of the blessing. Say it with me again. The blessing of God,
is on me right now.
And I am empowered to prosper,
to succeed,
to increase,
and to excel
in Jesus' name. All right, now, that's just review. You ready for some new stuff? Oh, hallelujah. Let's take a look at the word empower. Empower. The blessing is an empowerment. What does it mean to empower? The dictionary defines it as, number one, to give power. Number two, to give authority. Number three, to give ability. And number four, to enable. Number five, to permit. And then number six, to authorize. The blessing is an empowerment from God. It gives us power, it gives us authority, it gives us ability, it enables us, it permits us to do things that we cannot do in our own might and strength, and it authorizes us. Now, it also carries the idea, and I'm getting this right out of the dictionary, an empowerment also carries the idea of the authorization to veto. You're going to love this, Creflo. The blessing is on God's people. All the other things that we've already talked about that it means. In addition to that, it is the authorization from heaven to veto anything that is not from God. If God's not the author of it and it's trying to come into your life, you have been authorized by heaven to veto it. What does it mean to veto? That's an interesting word. Number one, to prohibit some proposed or intended act or action. Satan's a thief. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the blessing of God upon us authorizes us to veto his intentions. We've been putting up with a whole lot more than we ought to. Amen. We don't have to be on the other end of his stealing all the time. We have been authorized by God to veto that intention and veto that plan. Can you say amen? It means to prohibit some proposed or intended act or action. To veto also means to reject certain actions. It also means to forbid, and I love this, or refuse to consent to certain actions. That's the blessing. That's the empowerment that is on our lives. I not only have been empowered to prosper and to succeed and to increase and to excel and to rise above, but I've also been authorized by heaven to veto anything that is not of God. Give the Lord a shout if you receive that. Amen. We're authorized to reject, to prohibit, to forbid, and to refuse consent certain acts or actions. In other words, we don't have to be on the defense all the time. We don't have to just sit around and let the devil do all this stuff and then we, you know, counterpunch every once in a while. Thank God, if it is not from God, then he says, I've authorized you to veto it. In other words, that simply means I can say no to a few things. What are you talking about if it's not of God? Well, let me ask you this. Is poverty from God?
No.
Veto it. You're authorized to veto poverty. It has no right in your life. The blessing on your life authorizes you to prohibit, reject, forbid, and refuse consent to anything that God is not the author of. Well, Brother Jerry, how do you define what God's the author of and what the devil is the author of? I learned that many years ago from Kenneth Copeland. I'll never forget him standing there on that platform and said, "Draw the line in the sand. If it has anything to do with killing, stealing, and destroying, Satan's the author. If it has anything to do with life and living it more abundantly, God's the author. You measure everything by that. If it's trying to steal from you, kill you, or destroy you, it's from the devil. Veto it. If it has anything to do with life and living it more abundantly, receive it. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen?
The blessing is the power to veto, among other things that we've already discovered. Now, once again, is poverty from God? No, it's not. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 48 tells us that it's a curse. In Deuteronomy 28, 48, it says that part of the curse is to be in want of all things. To be in want of all things. That's under the curse. And if that's the way Satan is trying to control your life, where you're always in want of all things, then you don't have to tolerate that. You don't have to put up with it anymore. You have been authorized by heaven to veto that kind of existence. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Deuteronomy 28, 29. This is still talking about the curse. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. The Amplified says, being robbed continually. And that's under the curse. Satan's trying to rob you, and Satan's trying to oppress you, and Satan's trying to spoil or steal everything you've worked hard for and everything that God's given you, then God says, I authorize you, I have empowered you to veto that action. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That just simply says we have the authority and the power to say no. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We've been redeemed from poverty. It's not from God. We've been redeemed from lack. It's not from God. We've been redeemed from just a barely get by existence. It's not from God. And if it's not from God, then you're authorized to say no to it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You can forbid it. You can reject it. You can prohibit it. And you can refuse consent. Next time the devil comes knocking at your door and saying, I've got some flu for you, just forbid it. Next time he comes knocking on your door and saying, I understand there's members in your family who've died of cancer and you're going to die with it as well. Prohibit it. Forbid it. Veto it. Say no to it. You've been authorized by heaven. You have that kind of authority. Can you say amen? I know what some of you are thinking. I never heard anything like this. Well, that's the reason we're bringing it up. Amen. God's trying to get us to a higher level. Remember last year and I talked to you about the fullness of the blessing? This is all part of it, praise God. This is living in the fullness of the blessing. Can you say amen? We've been authorized by God to say no to anything that is not of Him. Now you know why that statement that Brother Copeland made last night excited me so. The blessing is the highest authority that heaven has ever bestowed in the earth. It not only empowers us to prosper, but it also authorizes us to forbid poverty into our lives. Poverty is an interesting word. Let's define it. Let's see what we have the authority to forbid. Poverty, obviously, number one, the condition of being poor. That means you and I don't have to put up with that. Not after what Jesus did at Calvary, and not after God has declared, and we are in agreement with Him, that His blessing is upon us. So that means I have been authorized by God to forbid the condition of being poor in my life. Look at your neighbor and say, I'll never be poor no more. It also means deficiency in necessary properties. Deficiency in necessary properties. The necessities of life. Deficient in those things. That's poverty. And thank God we've been authorized by the blessing that is on our lives to veto that kind of existence. Number three, it means deficiency in desirable qualities. In other words, you never have the things that you desire. You look at other people seeing, you know, their desires being fulfilled, and you see other people that are constantly testifying of the goodness of God in their life, but it seems like you just continue to live with nothing that you desire ever coming to pass. Well, Brother Jerry, I didn't know we were supposed to have desires. I didn't know God was interested in our desires. What things soever ye desire, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And I'll just be honest with you, some of the things I desire are not really spiritual. Amen. Now, God's first place in my life. And everything I have, I use it for His glory. But there's some things I desire. I don't mind telling you. Some things I desire that are not spiritual. Amen. I like Harley Davidsons. I like them. I desire them. Do you notice I said plural, not a Harley? I desire them. If something comes on me when I walk into a Harley store. My wife tried to cast it off, but it ain't working. I said, I don't cast it off you when you go to the furniture store. In fact, gentlemen, if you're believing for a Harley, take her shopping. Sow some seed. Amen. My wife has finally decided I'm a hopeless case, you know. No, she actually got a revelation that God wants to lavish upon us. And lavish is an interesting word. It means you can have more than one. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So notice here, we have been authorized by God to say no to whatever is not from Him. Once again, what is poverty? The condition of being poor, deficiency in necessary properties, deficiency in desirable qualities. It also means smallness or scarcity. It also means a lack of resources for reasonably comfortable living. If you don't have the resources for a comfortable life, then God says you have the right to veto that existence. And you say, amen. This is not the way God wants us to live. And since this kind of existence is not from Him, then He has authorized us to forbid it, reject it, prohibit it, and refuse consent to it in our lives. Amen. Now, it's amazing how we do that in other things, but we don't do it so often where this counts, where this is referring to. You know, I was at my mother's the other day and sitting there trying to visit my mother, just trying to visit with my mother because I travel all the time. And just being able to spend a day with my mother, within 10 minutes, there were 5 phone calls that I answered since I was close to the phone. She was further away from it. 5 phone calls of people trying to get my mother to buy something. And you know what I did? Refused consent. You know what I did? Vetoed. You know what I vetoed? Hung up. I mean, they wouldn't quit. They just kept calling. One of them was a satellite network. You know, and they said, we have representatives in your area, and we'd love to set up an appointment to come by and hook you up with a dish network satellite. I vetoed it. My mother didn't want it. I vetoed it.
How? Hung up. I like what I heard Jesse say one time. He said, God, the devil keeps trying to make me do things. What should I do? He said, do him the way you do me. Don't pay attention. That was Jesse. Huh? Well, we've all done that at one time or another, huh? I mean, when you don't do what God's telling you to do, what are you doing? You're actually vetoing what he said. God doesn't want us to live in poverty. God doesn't want us to live in lack. And since it's not from him, then we are authorized by heaven through the blessing that is on our lives to forbid it, reject it, prohibit it, and refuse consent to it. No wonder the devil has fought us so hard and tried his best to keep these kind of revelations from us. But now we know it. I said, now we know it.
Yeah.
I didn't think you got it. I said, now we know it.
Yeah.
You know, God's going to hold you responsible for what you're hearing tonight. What you're hearing all week long. You won't be able to stand before him and say anymore, I didn't know. The doors are locked. You're not going anywhere. We're not through yet. You're going to be responsible for the rest of it. Amen. You won't be able to say to God, but I didn't know. Yes, you're learning tonight. And we're going to continue to learn all week, praise God. So that means we now know that the blessing of God on our lives authorizes us to forbid, prohibit, reject, refuse, consent, and veto anything that is not from him. Hallelujah. That means I don't have to just sit by passively anymore and let the devil get away with whatever he wants to get away with and me just have a pity party about it. No, I've been authorized to stop it. I've been authorized to veto it, praise God. Come on, give the Lord a shout if you receive it. Now, obviously, we have a part, God has a part. We enforce that empowerment, and God will back it. Back a number of years ago, actually 1981, I was preaching in Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. And the Lord gave me a theme for the messages that week that I preached in that meeting. And it was simply called, Man's Authority Releases God's Ability. God has given us the authority. And when we activate or enforce that authority, then God releases his ability. We have the authority to lay hands on the sick. I'm not the one that has to heal them. All I have to do is act on my authority. And God provides the ability. Hallelujah. You and I have authority. We have been authorized to veto anything that is not from God, but it's not going to do any good if you don't enforce it. In fact, some of you are thinking right now some things you can start enforcing in your life. Some things that you are about to veto, praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
God's not going to do our part. We're the ones who have been authorized. If we do our part, then he promises that he will do his part. Now, the word veto made me think of executive power. Executive privilege. Our president has the power to veto. Kings of nations have the power to veto. There are certain things that come up before our president that men would like to do, or men would like to make law. And if, in his opinion, it is not for the betterment of our nation, then he has executive privilege. He can veto it. Well, what's that got to do with me and you? Well, we have executive privilege. Our God is the Most High God. And he doesn't get any higher than Most High. Our Lord is the King of Kings. He's the big king, we the little king. But even little kings have power. Little kings have been authorized to have executive privilege. How do you know you got executive privilege? Because the Bible says this is what Paul was referring to in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am sitting right next to the Most High God. I'm sitting right next to the King of Kings. And I happen to be one of the little kings, and I got executive privilege. Hallelujah. That means I can veto anything that Satan tries to bring into my life that is not for the betterment of my life, and there's not anything he brings that is for the betterment. So I can veto, forbid, reject, refuse consent to anything that he is trying to do that will bring destruction or an attempt to bring destruction to our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I know you're quiet because it's all sinking in. Hallelujah. We have executive branch level authority. I don't know like about you, but I like being an insider. I don't like being on the outside looking in. I like being an insider. I've served on a number of boards. And being on that board makes you an insider. It gives you certain privileges, certain rights, certain authority. Amen? I was on the Board of Regents of Oral Roberts University for many, many years, since 1981. That gave me authority that a student didn't have. Amen? In fact, by legal right, I'm part of the governing body. If somebody comes up with an idea that's not for the betterment of that university, then the board of trustees who are on executive level with executive privilege, we can veto it. That's the reason they take a vote. All in favor say aye. I'm not you. But thanks for participating, praise God. At least I know you're listening, hallelujah. 17 of you, praise God. Amen. We're executive branch. Hallelujah. That makes us insiders. It's kind of like when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But he wouldn't do it until he checked with executive branch level. Abraham. The man had some authority. As far as God was concerned, why? He blessed him. He said, I'm going down there and destroy this place. And he said, no, Lord, if you find 50 righteous there, you won't do it, will you? He said, no, not if I find 50. I mean, this is executive level authority. And that's the kind of authority you and I have. Whether we ever exercise it or not, whether we ever demonstrate it or not, it has been given to us. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and God, you know, waves a curtain back and says, now this is all you could have had while you're in the earth, but you never exercised your authority. I want him to pull that curtain back and there's nothing there. Because I used it all up in the earth, hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, the blessing is on me. Now, if we can ever grasp and comprehend the true meaning of the blessing, then no devil will be able to keep us from what God says belongs to us. We have unlimited potential. This is what Paul was praying in the book of Ephesians. Listen to this. In Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That was his prayer. That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. To what? To several things, but one of them was that you might know the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. One of the things that He prayed was that you and I would understand, fully grasp, have a revelation of, deep insight of, His exceeding great power toward us. Well, Brother Jerry, that's not the blessing. Oh, yes, it is. Because he started this chapter with these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. He started out talking about the blessing. He said, God has blessed us. And then he's saying, and if you ever get a revelation of the exceeding greatness of the power of that blessing, then your life will never be the same. Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I believe as we continue to search the Word, as we continue to receive insight and revelation, then it's going to take us into Romans 15, 29, the fullness of the blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you imagine how different your life will be when you're living in the fullness of the blessing? When you are literally exercising the authority and the power that you have been authorized by heaven to use. And it's available to us right now. Not when we get to heaven, but right now. Can you say amen? Can you think of anything right now? I mean, just in your own mind. Can you think of anything right now that you know for a fact is not from God? Well, sure you can. Well, then veto it. Tell it no. You're not allowed. You're not allowed in my life. You're not from God. I veto that. You know, I think the devil's in for some serious trouble. I think after tonight, he's going to hate the word veto. I mean, we can just whip him up real good. Put knots all over his head by everything he says. I veto that. I veto that. I veto that. No, no, no. Sickness and disease, that's not from God. I veto that. Amen. Poverty and lack, no, no, no. That's not from God. I veto that. My family going to hell, no, no, no. Jesus said, if I would believe on Him, the Bible says, if I believe on Him, that I will be saved and my whole house. Therefore, Satan, you're not taking my family to hell. I veto that. I forbid it. I prohibit it. I refuse to give consent to that.
Amen.
Amen. You just barely getting by. Getting laid off every time you get a good job. Losing your home. Can't afford gasoline. That is not from God. Veto it.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's practice a little bit and say, I veto that.
I veto that.
I dare you to just wake up in the middle of the night, even when the devil's not even bothering you, just wake up and say, I veto that. And he says, wait a minute, I didn't say anything. Well, you were about to, and I veto it. Just tell him, don't even bring it to the table. I veto it. Amen. You know, my daughter is the senior vice president of Jerry Savelle Ministries International. She runs everything. I say jokingly, raise your children right, and one day you'll go to work for them. She runs the entire operation and doing a great job, praise God. But I'm still the president. I'm still the chairman of the board. I'm still the founder. And I'm letting her and her team, you know, make decisions and judgments. But she does know from time to time, I like to be informed. Amen. And she'll, you know, I'm not a computer guy, or I wasn't, but she's made me become one. I don't like doing emails. But she said, Dad, if you just get a computer, then wherever you're at, anywhere in the world, I can email you. And if I have questions and if there's something comes up and I need your judgment, or it may be something that I'm not sure you'd want to do it just this way, then I can email you. And all you got to do is email me back and tell me, you know, this, that, or the other. I think I'm going to use the word veto quite a bit, praise God, if I don't like it. If it's not what I believe God wants us to do, I have the authority to veto it. Now,
Consequently, she's not bringing up anything because she knows my heart. She knows my calling. She knows my vision. But she still says, now, Dad, here's what the team has been thinking about and praying about, and we just want to lay it out to you. And every once in a while I say, no, now that doesn't flow with the vision there. Let's not do that. That's not what God's called us to do. And there's no argument about it because I'm executive branch. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I am now executive branch. So I got executive privilege. I make executive decisions. And if it's not from God, I veto it. Give the Lord a good shout. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You receive that tonight? Come on, give the Lord a shout if you receive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something else that you can veto. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We'll close with this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you all know that beginning in verse 15 through the remainder of that chapter, it talks about the curse. And if it's under the curse, then you and I don't have to have it in our lives. We've been redeemed from the curse. Look at verse 38. Now, under the curse, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather but little in. That's under the curse. People will sow seed, and they might continue to sow seed, and they might continue to sow seed, but they never get what the Bible says they are entitled to. The Bible says, if you sow much, then you will reap much. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you reap generously. But to sow much and reap little is a curse. And if you've been sowing a lot of seed, and yet you're seeing little harvest, then it's time to veto that. That'll sink in about 3 in the morning, and you're going to jump up and shout and wish you'd have shouted while Brother Jerry was talking about it. Huh? I have been authorized to veto any devil blocking my harvest. I have been authorized to veto any action from Satan that is intended to block my harvest. From this moment forward, when you sow seed, sow it like this. In the name of Jesus, I sow this seed, and because the blessing of God is on my life, I am empowered not only to prosper, succeed, increase, excel, and rise above, but I'm also authorized to veto anything that is not from God, and sowing much and reaping little is not from God. I veto any intentions of that taking place in my heart. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Shout with me, I forbid it. I reject it.
I refuse to give consent.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, the devil is in serious trouble. I can already see. I mean, you know, this is just this crowd. Of course, it's going out on the internet. There, God, I've got to preach to people all over the world today, tonight. My, it just hit me. I'm preaching to people all over the world right now. Can you imagine how many people, before they go to bed tonight, will veto everything the devil is trying to do in their life? Hallelujah.
He may be hurting too bad to mess with you tomorrow.
Praise the Lord. Say it again. I am empowered.
I am empowered.
I am authorized.
I am authorized.
And I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Come on, give the Lord a good shout for that. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now I want us to act on what we've heard right now. I want you to get your seed out that you're going to sow into Kenneth Copeland Ministries tonight. And I want to challenge you to sow it with this revelation burning in your heart. Remember the Jesus appeared to the two disciples? And when He opened up the Scripture unto them, the Bible says that they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" as He opened up the Scriptures. I trust that's what's happening to you tonight. I hope that your heart is burning within you because of revelation that you've received. And the smartest thing you can do when revelation comes is act on it right then. Don't give the devil an opportunity to talk you out of it. If he tries to, just say, "I veto that." Jesus said Satan will come immediately to try to steal the word. When he tries, just say, "I veto that. I prohibit that. I refuse to give consent to you stealing the word out of my heart." And tonight, let's sow this seed in faith, in the revelation that we have now received. And we're going to, on purpose, pray out loud, together, acting on what we've heard. And once this seed releases or is released from your hand, then we are going to prohibit Satan from blocking that harvest. We're going to veto any attempt our proposed intention for blocking that harvest. And we're going to do it in faith, and we're going to believe God for results. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Ushers, would you please stand? If you're giving in the way of cash tonight and you'd like a receipt for it, you need to put it in an offering envelope. If you're making out a check, you know to make it out to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Hallelujah. We're just acting on what we've heard. If I preached a message on salvation, wouldn't you expect me to give an invitation for the lost to get saved? If I preached a message on healing, wouldn't you expect me to pray for the sick? If I preached a message on deliverance, wouldn't you expect me to cast out devils? We're talking about the empowerment to prosper, the empowerment to succeed, the empowerment to increase, to excel, particularly in the area of our finances. Because that is a major, major issue in the body of Christ right now. And we don't have to put up with this anymore. We do not have to tolerate this. We don't have to sit back and just allow it to happen. The government is not our source. Our job is not our source. God is our source. Hallelujah. Your paycheck is not your source. That's just an avenue that God has given you so that you'll have seed to sow. Praise God. So we don't have to tolerate this. We have God-given, heaven-backed authority in the name of Jesus. A man came up to me in the Fort Worth convention just a couple of weeks ago. And he said, "I was in the service where you preached about the God of the breakthrough would visit my house." He said, "You encouraged us to sow our best seed, a significant seed." And he said, "I sowed that seed in faith, is all I had, the best I had. And in our life, it was a significant seed." And he said, "And I just want you to know, Brother Jerry, that was 1 year ago. And today, my house is paid for, my car is paid for. I have absolutely no debt in my life. The God of the breakthrough visited my house." Hallelujah. And that's just one of hundreds of testimonies that we've received like that. So don't take this lightly. This seed that you are about to sow could be the very seed that breaks the devil's back where your finances are concerned. Amen. Brother Copeland.
Now when I heard the word of the Lord coming over here to the service tonight, I didn't know what Brother Jerry was going to bring, because He hadn't shared any of this with me. And I can see now, and I have insight now and concept now of what God was saying on the way over here. Because when he said, Brother Jerry is going to show you how to do that. Do what? The 112th Psalm. Open it up there and let's read again. The 112th Psalm. Blessed is the man Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth or awesomely reverences God, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. Now that's not just his children, that's anything he sows. You're about to sow tonight. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He's gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man shows favor. He lendeth. He'll guide his affairs with good judgment. And surely he'll not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He'll not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So what does this man do? He stands in authority over his household, and he vetoes everything that Satan tries to do to take his righteousness away from him, or to steal his house, or to steal his wealth, or to steal his riches, or to steal his seed. Now, we've learned tonight how to cause this to come to pass, because listen here. He hath dispersed, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He'll gnash with his teeth, but then he melts away. The devil make a lot of noise and gnash his teeth, but then he just melts.
Why?
You vetoed everything he said.
That's right.
Vetoed everything
he said. Look, it says it in the Amplified. He'll be grieved and angered. He will gnash his teeth and disappear in despair. Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
I would too if I got vetoed on everything I said.
Vetoed on everything and nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing he can do about it. See, Jesus stripped him of all the power that he had. And the only thing he's got left is try to con you into letting him, or con you over into his way of thinking, so that you'll say it with your mouth and then authorize him to do it. And just the opposite is taking place. You're going to veto everything he says, everything he comes up with. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And say it out loud. My house.
My house.
Now, some of you don't even have a house. You're renting a house or whatever. You want a house? Say, my house.
My house.
Is filled. With wealth. With riches. And righteousness. Now look. Take that seed in your hand. And my seed. Is strong. Powerful. On the earth.
Hallelujah. That's good.
That's good, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
I mean, that's that. And you know, it goes on down in that psalm and says he's not afraid of bad news. Mm-hmm. Why? He vetoes it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I love it.
I've stood on that scripture for many years. And just here lately have had the chance to exercise it real.
Well, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 18, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. The Amplified says, whatever you forbid. So that's veto.
Yeah, well, if we could rightfully say this after this message tonight. Whatever you veto on earth is vetoed in heaven.
That's right.
Whatever you pass and signature is passed and signatured in heaven.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking about whether that's what the president does. I mean, the difference between that being law or not is his signature.
Yeah.
And if he don't write his name and he says, I veto it, it stops right there. It has to go back to Congress. They can't just say, well, why not? No. It stops right there. Right. Amen. Well, the reason we're not afraid of evil tidings, we veto everything
we veto
comes
it.
Up with.
That's what you preached years ago about we're the establishing witness.
That is, isn't it?
Yeah. Satan can't do it if I don't agree to it. I'm the establishing witness. It's either what God says happens in my life or what the devil says. He can't do it without my consent.
Yeah. Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established.
Yeah.
So God said it. I'm the establishing witness. So out of the mouth of two witnesses, it comes to pass.
Yeah.
But now just so that on the other side of it works, if the devil said it and I say it, out of the mouth of two witnesses, it's going to come.
That's how I give consent to it.
You gave consent to it, yeah.
You know, Gloria said one time years ago, she said she asked the Lord about, I'm trying to think the exact wording. Can the devil do anything he wants to do anytime he wants to do it? The Lord said, if he could, why would he have to deceive you first?
Yeah.
Deception is how he gets your consent.
That's the way he does it, doesn't it? I veto that.
Yeah.
I veto that.
You want to preach on this a little bit?
I'm going to.
You're going to? Okay. Hallelujah. You got that seed? Praise God. Hold it up. Hold it up with a smile on your face, with a new revelation of what it is about to do, and say this out loud in the name of Jesus. I sow this seed in faith. I sow it according to the Word of God. I sow it based on the revelation I've received. God says when I sow, I should receive a harvest. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It is not of God for me to sow and have my harvest blocked. So in the name of Jesus, I am authorized by heaven because of the blessing that is on my life right now to veto my harvest being blocked. Satan, I veto whatever intentions you may have, whatever assignments you may dream up, whatever actions you may be thinking about right now, I veto them and I receive harvest like the Bible says I ought to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, ushers, go ahead and receive that. Praise God. And you just keep vetoing the devil all night until you fall asleep. Praise God. Amen. And just a moment, we'll do one more thing, and then I'll turn the service to Brother Lynn. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm praying, right along with the Apostle Paul, that the eyes of your understanding will truly be enlightened for this exceeding great power. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The more insight we have into this, and praise God, the greater our lives will be. The quality of our lives will increase and increase and increase, and will never be the same. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Sickness and disease, would you agree with me, it's not of God? That same 28th chapter of Deuteronomy
says that every sickness and every disease that's not even written in this book of the law is under that curse. So that would have to include anything that may be attacking your body tonight. By His stripes you were healed. You are redeemed from the curse. And you are authorized by God to veto any disease that tries to come into your body. So if you are suffering with any kind of disease or infirmity in your body right now, I want you to stand to your feet. No matter what it is, just stand to your feet. All right, those of you that are seated, look around and see if there's somebody near you. And you stand up and lay your hands on them. And act on what you've heard tonight. Let's veto this. It has no right to exist in their bodies. Come on, you do it. I'm going to do it. You do it in your own words. You take authority over it with them. Join together in faith with them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority, our God-given authority, over these infirmities, over these sicknesses, over these diseases. They're not of God. The Bible is very clear they're not of God. And so therefore, they must be of Satan. He's the oppressor. He's the one that attempts to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that tries to take people's lives through sickness and disease. And so therefore, since it's not of God, we are authorized to forbid it, to prohibit it, to refuse consent to it existing in their bodies. And we veto it by the authority of God's word. And we declare in Jesus' name, as of right now, at this very moment, they are recovering and they shall be made whole. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on, give the Lord a good shout.